Good morning and welcome to the Angels Podcast. This is your host, Quinzit, and we appreciate very much your tuning in to the program. The Angels Guild is a World of Warcraft guild on the Trelaian server, and we appreciate again very much your listening to the program. We hope you'll visit our website at wowangels.org, WOWANGELS.org. As always, today we'll have the news and then we'll have a feature. We'll be continuing this week what we started last week, talking about player versus player. And this is something we've been requested to do, and we'll spend a little bit of time on it. First of all, let's talk about guild news, then we'll talk about Blizzard news. In relationship to the guild news in the last few days, of course, everyone knows that a lot of our 60s have moved on to another guild called the Chosen Few, which is and is not associated with Angels. It is associated with Angels in the sense that it was former Angel members who started it, our leadership in Angels who started the guild. However, the guild is for people who are a little more serious about the end game than a lot of our casual players are in Angels Guild. And it is a 60s only guild. And I guess that's the biggest piece of news that's affecting us, and I'm not sure how much we want to go into that at the moment. We'll let that develop a little bit and see what's going on. So far, I will say that it's working out rather well. We're running a lot of instances together as 60s, in fact, almost nightly. We've gotten in on a couple of Upper Black Rock Spear runs. We've even gotten in on one 20-man run down in Stranglethorn. So we're kind of, the 60s are kind of grouping together there, and we are picking up additional 60s from other places, and so I think that's working out rather well for us. So that's basically the guild news that we'll talk about this week. Let's talk a little bit about Blizzard news this week. First of all, Blizzard did announce this week that they're continuing their process of investigating accounts, and said that during the month of June they closed 59,000 World of Warcraft accounts and removed well over 22 million gold from the total economy across all realms. And these, they say, are people who are using bots to farm gold and items, and otherwise breaking the terms of use for World of Warcraft. And so they are continuing to aggressively watch the game and to protect it, and we appreciate that. I don't know that I agree with all their terms of use, but I will say that those who use bots and other cheats like that should be removed from the game. Another piece of news that they talked about this week had to do with Burning Crusade, and they talk here about some tier 3 gear that will be associated with the expansion, but they're saying they're toning down what they originally said about this subject and saying that the tier 3 gear will just slightly upgrade the current three tier gear. It is not anything significantly different. And so apparently with the Burning Crusade, we're not going to have an introduction like of a tier 4 or something of that nature. And I think that's the primary thing that I get out of what they say in that area. They also made a brief statement about player versus player, that you will they will create new brackets in the battlefields from 60 to 69, and then at 70 another bracket will begin on the battlefields. And so I don't know, what is it, 71, 72 they're talking about growing to. So basically there will be a 60 to 69 battlefield, And then there will be a 70 and above battlefield once Burning Crusade is introduced. And of course, that is the expansion that they're talking about, in which they will introduce the new levels to the game. There was a lot of discussion on the board, and I'm not going to go into it, but just simply tell you it's there and that just reported as news. There were several featured links, seven in all, in which Blizzard commented on the argument about shamans and paladins. The shaman being added to the alliance, we talked about this last week, and the paladin being added to the horde side. Now, in regard to this, as I say, I'm not going to go into the issue itself, because you know, I'm going to let you read those seven posts and determine what you think about what they've said. But there's a lot of people, you know, not happy about it, and there's a lot of other people who are happy about it. I personally would be in that last camp. I just think the Horde have some inherent advantages with the shaman class that need to be taken away. And but in any event, something else they did along this line that I will talk about is that they revealed the classes. And isn't this interesting that in revealing the classes once again, the Horde is being given an advantage that the Alliance is not being given. In Draenei, the Draenei's cannot be rogues and they cannot be mages, okay? But guess what? The Blood Elves can be both rogues and mages. So there will be mage elves in the game, but not on the Alliance side. And so the Blood Elves will be able to be both mages and rogues. The six classes the Blood Elves will be able to have is Paladin, Hunter, Rogue, Priest, Mage, and Warlock. And so once again, the Horde will have an additional class that can pursue mage abilities. And in this particular class, with the magical add-on abilities being given to the Blood Elves, it will make their mages a little more effective than even our little darling mages now that come from the little people, the gnomes. So, you know, once again, the Blizzard's affinity for the Horde comes through. Let's see, there's additional comment made on cross-realm battlefields. The next content patch will allow you to join players from other realms on the battlefield. To designate which realm will be playing with each realm, all realms were organized into battle groups, and a collection of the battle groups have been shown, and basically they made this announcement again this week in order to announce a couple of updates to that list. They're minor and don't affect us at all. The new forums, they want to stress test, beta test on the forums, and that's going on. That's all that needs to be said about that. There's some discussion on the board about the Wind Fury totem changes. Doesn't affect us since we don't have shamans at this point in time. We will have in the long run. Still a little bit of discussion going on about paid character transfers, and to my knowledge, all of the realms are now up and running in that regard, but there were a couple of threads on that again this week. Nothing new that I saw. A couple of new realms that have been put up, and so again, we're not interested in that, right? We are we're happy where we're at. And also, they made another statement that World PvP would be in 1.12, and said they would expect to release more information in 2 to 3 weeks about it. And of course, they released some information we talked about briefly last week in that regard to the World PvP. And they just added a couple of little tidbits this week when they talked about the dust and how that this dust in Celsius, when you have this dust, basically the idea is you pick up the dust and for your side, you take it back to a collection point. And the thing about the dust is when you touch the dust, pick it up and put it in, it makes you player versus player activated. And what I'm wondering about, and maybe somebody who's on the test server can answer this, are they going to nuke the rogues again? Is it going to be that you can't stealth when you have the dust as a rogue? And are they going to take away our special ability again? And, you know, if they go according to the way they normally go, then they'll nerf us again as rogues. It's just part of life and part of living. We rogues are a little used to it by now. Anyway, that's the news from Blizzard. Basically, I haven't heard anything new on when 1.12 will be deployed. I'm still thinking sometime now. I guess this is August today. It will be, I believe, sometime this month. And the last word still continues to be that the expansion will come out in October, with you know, my prediction being early December for the Christmas season, maybe late November. But anyway, they are still talking about an October release of that. And so we have a major patch in August and a major expansion in October if they can keep their date, and that's what we're looking forward to. Well, let's shift gears here and go to our feature for today and talk a little bit about player versus player. Last week when we talked about player versus player, I talked about what is called in the military preparing the battlefield, and we talked about the misconception that a lot have that player plus versus player must be fair. That is, that you somehow have to give your opponent an equal chance to win. That a lot of people labor under this misconception. It's just not so. As we said last week, when you go into war, you are looking to put your opponent at the greatest disadvantage possible so that there is no doubt when the battle begins who will win the battle. And that is certainly the way to approach player versus player. That we are not looking to make it fair. We're not looking for even ground. We are looking for the high ground. We are looking for an advantage. And so for that reason, we'll begin today by saying that I am a big fan of ganking. I happen to believe that ganking serves some purposes here, and you'll have to excuse me while I shuffle my notes. I made some notes on that, and for some reason they aren't up the way I thought they were, and so let me see if I can find those real quick here. There we go. When we I think ganking is a good thing. There are some practical reasons why I think it's good. First of all, I love to do it. It's fun. Second of all, it's sweet revenge for all the times I've been ganked by the Horde. I think, though, ganking helps protect your lower level players. And what I mean by that is that ganking has a psychological effect upon the ganked. And it's a psychological effect that lasts until their 60s. And so there's a long-term strategic end to ganking. You want to create a sense of inferiority in your opponent. And you do that by ganking him when he's little. And so anyone who's foolish enough on a normal server to flag himself for PvP around higher level characters needs to be ganked. No mas, no mercy. And that is really, I think, one of the important things about it. And that's why I think it's kind of a strategic tool that you use in player versus player. Again, why do people oppose ganking? It's not fair. Oh my goodness. This is why most people oppose ganking, because they say it's not fair. Again, we're not looking for fairness in PvP. That's not the idea of PvP. It's not the idea that two equal sides go at it. It's the idea that you wait to engage in battle. You prepare the battlefield so that when you go into battle, there's no doubt about who's going to win. That is the proper way to play PvP. How do you prepare the battlefield to do that? Well, you go after people who are lower than you at times. You gank. You get groups together and go after people who have lower number of groups. As a rogue, you sneak up on the cloth wearers and so forth and so on. This is a part of PvP. And seek an advantage always. And if that means ganking, by all means, gank. Now, that's my view on the subject. I realize a lot of people disagree with that. You want to disagree with it? Fine. I'm telling you that ganking serves a strategic purpose. And therefore, do not be ashamed to engage in it, enjoy it, laugh at those who complain about it and gripe about it and move on. And, you know, it's just part of the game. And that's the way that it works. Well, we talk about preparing the battlefield. I want to go to the other end of the battle at this point and talk about dying well and talk about when to flee. I think that it logically follows from the discussion that we began last week and have continued to a certain extent this week that the purpose of battle is to win. The purpose of engaging in PvP is to win. And when you get to the point that you realize that you are not going to win, you have gotten into a situation maybe you weren't prepared for, you did your best to prepare the battlefield, but there was a rogue in the bushes or something of that nature, you had two choices. You can die well, or you can flee the battlefield. And to a certain extent, these choices are limited by your opponent. If your opponent has the ability to root you or has the ability to slow you or otherwise stop you from fleeing, then your only choice is to die well. But early on in a battle, there is a moment, and I call it the moment of decision. There is a moment early on in the battle when you know that it's not likely you're going to win. And it's that moment of opportunity. As a rogue, for example, that's one of my primary characters. I hit a cloth wearer. Boom. I'm way ahead of him. I'm doing well. Boom. A rogue hits me from behind. I immediately know at that moment it's 2-1. Now, I can say, well, I'm going to try and be a hero and beat these guys down, which doesn't happen often. Every once in a while, you're able to do it. Or at that very moment, I can change my mode to no longer trying to kill, but to get away. Okay? But it has to be made. You can't go half and half. Okay? And a mistake I made a lot early on in PvP in my MMO career is, you know, that would happen and I would just try valiantly somehow to win and maybe take a couple of steps away but not really commit to it, and I died almost every time. But since I learned this lesson that when it becomes obvious that you're not going to win this engagement, you had that choice to use all of the special abilities that you have to flee. Do it. Take the choice to flee. And you will see a lot of times, if you've ever gone into battlegrounds with me, you will see a lot of times in battlegrounds, I only die once or twice. You'll have a lot of players who go into a battleground and they will die as many times as they kill the opponent. I take a certain amount of pride in not only killing a lot of players in player versus player, but in not dying as often. And the way that I do that is when I realize I'm in a situation where I'm facing that, I will immediately use my class special abilities to get away. And often you could do that because often at the moment of decision, your opponent is at a disadvantage. So again, the rogue, boom, I hit a cloth wearer, okay? And I normally open up with something like cheap shot, say. For a moment, he's out of the battle. Somebody hits me. Now he's used his abilities, okay? For a moment, he's out of the battle. I have a moment right then when I could act. I have a moment right then when I have the ability to flee. And part of what we have to learn to do is to train ourselves to do that. Now, we're not always able to flee. And so we have to think about in PvP dying well. And dying well is not foolishly sacrificing yourself. That's not what we're talking about. Although there is a time and a place on the battlefield to do that. Dying well is dying in a way that facilitates your re-entering the battle at your resurrection, or facilitates your escape should they try and camp you. Dying well involves putting a second of thought into where you die and how you die. So sometimes it's not so much a process of getting away, but getting to a place that will allow me to raise and get away if necessary, so that they can't camp my body. You know, in player versus environment, dying well is dying away from where the monster spawns so that you can raise easily. Now, the game has helped us a little bit on this in that it's given us a pretty wide choice in where we raise, but there are a lot of situations in which where you die seriously affects what happens when you come back. And so we have to put some thought into dying well. And often just saying that, put some thought into dying well, is enough to help people to begin to think about it and do it. But you know, die away from where the mob spawns. Die somewhere where you have multiple options to spawn in case you're being camped, so that more than what your opponents can cover, so that you can raise in a place they're not and flee if necessary. And so, or perhaps raise and be able to attack them. And so, choose where you die to the best of your ability. And this is called dying well. There's a time and a place to die well. Now, there's another aspect to dying well, and this is the idea of sacrificing yourself on the battlefield for a certain end. You know, there's a lot of horde warriors that are pretty good at this. You know, when they're assaulting on the battlefield, you'll see every once in a while one or two horde warriors will just run into the middle of the alliance crowd to kind of try and push us back by forcing people to turn and go back to get them. And that's an example of what we're talking about. Rarely provides long-term benefits. There's only a few situations in which that works. As old George Patton said, the object is to make the other guy die for his country, not you die for yours. And so, be aware there may be a circumstance in which you can do that. Okay, so we've talked about preparing the battlefield. We talked a little bit about last week when to fight, when not to fight. What is the most important thing about fighting? Well, it's the most important thing about one of the most important things. It's like in player versus environment. It's a lot easier when you have friends. And player versus player is like that too. Take a buddy with you. Take two or three buddies with you, and fight together. One thing that's very effective, is a couple of rogues together, or a couple of rogues and a druid together, where you can stealth around. Very effective in player versus player. And so, using the buddy system will give you a big advantage. And I just can't stress this enough. You know, on the battlefield, as I told you last week, a lot of times I stand up there and I watch. And I see the horde. They're in a tight group together. I don't know why the horde tends to do this more than the alliance. I'm still working on why they do it. But you'll see them, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them together. You will see them in Warsong Gulch after they cap. They will gather together in front of that tunnel on their base. And they will buff each other. All of their people will raise, they will come down, they will buff each other, they'll take a couple of minutes to do that. And it's not unusual to see them doing that and seeing Alliance players stream into them one at a time. Boom, one at a time, boom, one at a time. And of course they just get absolutely slaughtered going in one at a time. Player versus player is about using all the assets you have against the enemy. One of the greatest assets you have is other players. Being in a guild, working together in player versus player, is so essential to success. There is a force multiplier. There is, what is the term that they use, symbiosis or something like that. That's not the right term, but it's a fact that three people together are stronger than what they are individually. What I mean is, when you combine three together, the outcome is greater than its parts. You take three people together, and they're not only three people together, but it creates a symbiosis. It creates a group of people who combined have greater power than what they do individually. And it is so important to have a buddy. It is so important to PvP with a group, and to work together as a group, to learn to work together as a group. And the biggest criticism I have of the Alliance is we just don't do enough of this. We don't do enough of working together. We're very individualistic. We do most of our leveling alone. We only get together in groups to do instances and stuff like that. And I don't think it's that way on the Horde side. I think they tend to group more, and still trying to understand that and why. But in PvP, it's not just the size of the group. I've seen even small groups. I'll tell you a story of what happened one time. This was before I came to the Trelane server. This was when a friend of mine was introducing the game to me. And he let me play a rogue. And we were in Ashnar. And it was a rogue, a warrior, and two mages. There were four of us. Okay. A group of 20 horde. 20 horde came into town. Okay. We four ducked together into to one of the buildings, and they were savaging the guards. But what the horde did was, when they savaged the guard, that group of 20, they all were together, and there were about six guards around them, and they were in a very, very tight knot. So our warrior and the rogue jumped into the middle of the knot, got their attention. They tried to shift from the environment people to us, and then boom, in came both of our mages doing their AOE. And we killed that whole group without a loss. Four of us killed 20. So it's not just to build a bigger group than the other guy. That's not the idea. The idea is to get a group of people who play together, who are used to playing together, who know each other and can work together. And you know, all of us together saw that opportunity, and all of us did that. And so there is a buddy system. There is a you know, this ability to group, this ability to work together is so important to success in player versus player. You will be frustrated, and I am often frustrated when we don't group in the battlegrounds as Alliance. I a lot of times will still come out with a lot of kills, as it's, you know, I still get the kills, but It's just the fact that success lies in good organization, good cooperation, where the sum of the parts equal more in the end than just merely the sum of the parts. And that is what we're looking for in our buddy system in player versus player. Learning each other, working together. And that's so, so very important. Another aspect of player versus player is using the landscape in the building. And here again, the Horde are so good at this. I don't know why again, but when you chase a Horde, he will go into buildings and do a U-turn. He will go, around trees into holes. They seem to know the terrain like the back of their head sometimes. I don't know. They just seem to. In player versus player, use the landscape. Know the battlefield. Know the area that you're fighting on. You can use it to hide. You can use it to escape. You can use it to advance, sneak up on your opponent, so forth and so on. Use the terrain. Know the terrain. Use the building. Use the water, especially the water. I always carry some water-breathing potions with me so that I can use the water. And have used it often, for example, in Ashnar, where I like to do a lot of open PvPing, used it very, very effectively, both for attack and defense. And so, take some thought to the terrain, use the terrain, and in your battlefield. And the last thing I'm going to talk about today, we're right at 30 minutes, so I need to go ahead and sign off. The last thing we'll talk about is think out of the box. Be creative. Don't just do what everybody else is doing. Try and be a little bit creative about it. And, creativity is something, it is not a gift, it is something that is developed. And the way it is developed is taking something and looking at it and say, well, here's how most people think about it. Here's how I always thought about it. Is there a different way to think about it? Just asking yourself that question creates creativity. And in player versus player, sometimes creativity can be a very, very powerful thing. You want to think about doing things a little bit differently. Surprise, catch your opponent in an unexpected way. Some very obvious things, for example, we talked last week about the idea of setting up a bait. You set up some lower player activating PvP and you get a couple of Horde coming in, and then the larger characters are hidden in the bushes or stealthed or something like that, and they won't be at some point that was creative. At some point somebody thought up, that'd be a good idea. But think outside of the box. Think of new solutions and new ways to do things. How are you creative? It's hard to give an example of creativity, but how are you creative? It's by asking yourself this question. How is it normally done? How do I normally do it? And then asking yourself, is there a different way to do this that will give me an advantage? Ask yourself that question, and you will be surprised at how creative you become. Well, I've gone over time. Thanks a lot for listening to the program today. And this is Quinzit, your host, signing off. Be careful out there. Have fun.